This is Diane Hawks at the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
This is a repeat broadcast of Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Live from the KCNR studios in downtown Redding, California on Market Street, it's Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. And here is your host, Connor Sutton.
It's good to be back, ladies and gentlemen, as you welcome into Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. A lot of good stuff going on here today, September 22nd here at 8.06 a.m. Last night, high school football, Foothill versus Paradise, a outstanding game that Paradise ended up coming back and winning 43-40 on a touchdown in the last 2 minutes. So the last 2 weeks here in week four and five have been very, very close and good games down the stretch. So we're thankful for that. Hopefully we'll have another one here this upcoming week. Foothill did a nice job of playing a team in Paradise who originally when I was coming into the game doing the stats and talking to different people around the area, sports reporters and such, that Foothill was going to struggle in that game, but they actually played pretty well. We're a field goal away from essentially winning it. But Jaden Gordon was unbelievable. Five touchdowns in Paradise's running attack gave them ability to win the game. So a lot of good stuff today. We'll have where I was right, where I was wrong, spread for spread, the Fire 3 coming up later, and then a new segment, Start 'em and Sit 'em, about fantasy football, who we should start, who we should sit. But I want to start with this today. LeBron James, when he went to the Heat, and Kevin Durant, when he went to the Warriors, it began this trend in the NBA. NBA players had more power than coaches and GMs at that moment for stars. The players who are more talented have the ability to dictate where they're going, even when they're in contract. But now I think it has gone too far. Now we have all these players wanting out of their current teams, current contracts. For instance, Jimmy Butler just told the Minnesota Timberwolves he wants out of Minnesota. He also wanted out of Chicago. Now he wants out of Minnesota. And it's this new trend that we have in the NBA where players, if you're in the top 25, top 30, that you can just, if you're not happy, you just say, hey, I want to trade and I can be out. It used to be, you just have to stick it out, wait till the end of your contract. But how about this? Instead of wanting out halfway through your contract, how about signing a shorter deal? Well, no, because they're not worried about being unhappy. They're worried about getting paid. Because they know if they sign that five-year deal, the team's responsible for it. So the natural trend, what we're going to see starting to happen from owners and GMs is they're going to start signing shorter-term deals. The max deals are going to evaporate, or really they're going to morph into something different. These shorter deals, 3 to 4 years for big money instead of the 5 to 6 years max contracts for 20 to 25 million, whatever it is now. It's going north of that. I think John Wall in a couple years is going to be making $40 million a year. And I wouldn't even say he's a top 15 player. It's incredible. And not only that, Jimmy Butler's telling the Timberwolves where he wants to go. The Knicks, the Clippers, these are the teams he wants to go to. And what that does is those teams hear that, know that there's a good possibility he will re-sign there. And now they will possibly go after him because he knows, or they know, he wants to go there. So it's kind of this interesting relationship between players, GMs, and now with the ability of Twitter, where information can be right at your fingertips, is that players can say exactly what they want, and they can get it. Kawhi Leonard wanted out of San Antonio. He got out of San Antonio, although I don't think Toronto's exactly where he wanted to be. It could have been worse. He could have ended up in Detroit or one of the lower-end cities in the NBA. And we know the NBA is a star-driven league, and that's one of the reasons why so many fans love it, and it's growing constantly. But when we give players the ability to not only request a trade, but also request where they want to go, to me, that's giving them too much power. You can say you want a trade, but you have no control where you're going. That's how it should be to me. You can't ask for both, right? But the Knicks and Clippers are probably going to ask to get trades for Jimmy Butler, because the Knicks get him. They got Porzingis and Butler. They're all of a sudden a contender in the East. Now, they're not going to beat the Celtics. They're not going to beat the Sixers. They're not going to beat Milwaukee. But they're a top-five team, and the Knicks so badly need to be relevant again that they would go after a guy like Jimmy Butler, who, despite the last couple years with injuries, is still a top 25, top 30 player. The real question I don't understand is, Butler traded from Chicago after Tom Thibodeau left to Minnesota, where Thibodeau was at, and now he's not happy. The Timberwolves have all this talent. Karl Anthony Towns, who's supposed to be the next best center in the NBA, he's very, very good. Andrew Wiggins, who's supposed to be the next top talent in small forward, was in that Kevin Love trade. And now, all of a sudden, this Timberwolves team is falling apart. They're essentially putting together the Thibodeau Bulls with Derrick Rose, Luol Deng. So I don't know what's happening in Minnesota, but Jimmy Butler wants out. And I'm okay with him wanting out. I'm just not okay with him asking or requesting where to go. To me, that's doing too much. That's, in a sense, stabbing the back of the team that's you're playing for. But at the same time, I understand it's a player-driven league, star-driven league, and players have the power, especially star players. I mean, look at LeBron James. Got David Blatt fired in Cleveland. So players can release these statements because they know it will entice teams to put together a trade offer, talking about saying, I want to go to the Knicks, I want to go to the Clippers. And it's going to force those teams to become enthusiastic for him in the trade market. And I don't really know what is coming next for the NBA and the way that the players and the GMs and the coaches coexist. But it's definitely going to be interesting because it's constantly evolving. 5-10 years ago, we didn't really see players having this much power. Now, all of a sudden, it shifted dramatically because of what LeBron James and Kevin Durant did. And I was okay with those moves just because of the players in most leagues don't have hardly any power. And it's good to see guys who truly do sell tickets, bring championships to their city, get the reward that they want. But I just think you can't have your cake and eat it too. That's my biggest thing. It's not possible. Jimmy Butler's wanting that. And if he gets it, the problem is that's going to lead other players to do the same exact thing. And don't we respect players a little bit less when they leave? LeBron left, we get it because Cleveland was a joke. But when Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum say, oh, I'm going to stay in Portland. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I respect those guys more. If they finally one day do bring a championship to Portland, which would be unbelievable for that city, it would be truly incredible. And I would respect that more when Dirk Nowitzki stayed in Dallas, got them the ring. Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant. These guys who are staying with a team for their entire career throughout all the terrible seasons to finally get the ring. To me, that is more important and honestly feels better. I mean, when LeBron won that ring in Cleveland after coming back, he said it was a better feeling than he had in Miami, and that's why. I'm a true believer in sports of if you want the championship to feel like a championship, you have to struggle a little bit first. All right, coming up next, where I was right, where I was wrong, I'll dictate where my predictions have been incorrect and where they have been correct. There's a lot of both, so we'll get to them. That's next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Caldwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details and all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Caldwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/changetheculture.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment two here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Here on September 22nd, week three of the NFL season. NHL preseason just got going. Major League Baseball coming down the stretch. One of my favorite times of the year. And with postseason for baseball coming up, looking forward to that. All right, where I was right, where I was wrong. Under the segment where I give you my predictions and tell you how bad I am at predicting things. There we go, Jared. All right, where I was right. I got a lot of these, so we're going to get through them all here this morning. Where I was right, I said running backs aren't very important in the NFL because the second guy or the third guy on your roster can be just as good as the first. Le'Veon Bell is still holding out despite getting a franchise tag at $15 million a year, but he wants a multi-year deal, as most backs do, because they know their time is limited due to injury. James Conner, the backup running back for the Steelers, in two games has had three touchdowns with 152 yards on 39 attempts. 3.9 yards per carry. Now, it's not Hall of Fame numbers, but it's still pretty good. And they're only paying him $2 million a year. So, you tell me what's better. Having that $13 million of cap space to try and fill up your defensive line, strengthen your O-line, get some more help on the outside, or pay $15 million for a running back who sits out the first 3 weeks. Don't pay your running backs big money. That's a message to all you NFL GMs. It's not going to help you. It's just going to lock up your cap space. Le'Veon Bell still holding out, where I was right on that one. All right, where I was wrong, Philadelphia Eagles -3.5 at home against the Bucks. Oh, I took it. I was suckered into that bet. And it burnt me. It burnt me bad. And it wasn't even close. Ryan Fitzpatrick was unbelievable. But in the first game, I mean, we know Ryan Fitzpatrick can have these games where he can be incredible, but he also can be terrible. He doesn't really have a spectrum of where he's just average. There's no gray area. He's really great or he's not great, and there's no in-between for him. But when he's great, he is fantastic, and he's been fantastic early in this season. I just can't believe, because the Eagles were so much better at so many positions, and they were at home. I know Nick Foles is not their starting quarterback, but he's one of the best backups in the league. Come on, Nick. You couldn't pull off a win for me at home. Eagles lost, and Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Buccaneers are now 2-0, and already people are talking about them as a dark horse team. And we have a quarterback controversy in Tampa Bay, and I think Fitzpatrick is going to keep the job when Jameis Winston comes back. Where I was right, I said Odell Beckham Jr.'s contract is going to handicap the Giants. Guess what? That's what it's done. Their offensive line is a mess. It's like me and Jared out there trying to stop the defensive line. They're letting guys through left and right. Ole, ole. They're basically have that red cloth as the Bulls go by, the defensive line going back to get Eli Manning. I don't even know if Eli Manning has been good this year just because he's been under pressure constantly. And so when you have a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., you're paying big money out on the perimeter, it's tough because you can't even get him the ball. So you're paying a guy big money, and yet you can't even get him the ball because your O-line is that bad. To me, that's your issue right there. New York's going to struggle a little while until they figure out their offensive line. However, I think hopefully they will figure it out quickly and be able to kind of rein themselves in and have a chance to win the NFC East. I don't think that's going to happen, but they have enough talent defensively, but they need to figure out their offensive line. But again, Eli Manning hasn't had the opportunity to throw to Odell Beckham Jr. because he's been under pressure so often, and that contract so far has not seemed right. Where I was wrong, I said Baker Mayfield was a mistake at the number one pick. But guess what? He got the Browns their first win in just under 2 years Thursday night. Went toe-to-toe with who I thought should have been the number one pick in Sam Darnold. And was pretty much outstanding. I got to give it to Baker. The Browns, are they back? They're 1-1-1. What? I mean, the Steelers have not looked good. They're 0-1-1. Do the Browns have what it takes to make this division? Wow, we'll see. All right, so Baker Mayfield, and I think, because Tyrod Taylor, I think, is going to be out for next week. Baker Mayfield might be under center yet again, and we'll see if he can keep that magic rolling. Where I was right, back to the New York Giants, I said that Saquon Barkley would win Rookie of the Year, and so far it appears he will be the most valuable rookie, but that can change quickly. And despite the fact that the offensive line has struggled, Saquon has been pretty good. If they figure out their offensive line and have a little fewer injuries, this Giants offense could be good. But again, they haven't been able to get it to Odell a whole lot. He doesn't have a touchdown yet this year. He does it around 150 yards receiving. But Saquon has made the Giants offense a little bit multidimensional, and I think he is the best player in the draft at the moment currently. So Saquon is still my pick for Rookie of the Year. Where I was wrong, I thought LeBron would stay in Cleveland, but clearly he is in L.A. I owe Dan Anderson some Outback Steakhouse over that. I gave Dan the field, and I took Cleveland in that bet. So he got all 29 teams, and I got Cleveland because I thought there was no chance he was leaving. But my, was I wrong. It was not even close. But I just don't quite get this move. They had some pieces in Cleveland that are better what they have in L.A. Kevin Love. They got a couple guys, George Hill, Jordan Clarkson. But I think what LeBron is trying to do with this move, obviously he wants to be in L.A. with a historic franchise, basically trying to do what nobody else has done, which is win a ring with three different teams and be the star on all three. That's going to be tough, but if he can do it, that might be what he can do to surpass Jordan. I don't think that will be what it takes, but that's what he's trying to do. Obviously, he'll be in L.A. He's producing shows. He likes the L.A. lifestyle. He's got a couple houses out there. It was an easy choice. But apparently I didn't see that, and I still thought he would stay in Cleveland. Yeah, good call, Connor. Not a good one on my part. But he wants to build another super team in L.A., and I think with the young core that they have with the Lakers, they have an opportunity to do so. LeBron has been the biggest NBA story since coming into the league way back when in 2003 when he was drafted the number one overall pick. He knows how to stay in the headlines almost always for positive things, and now that he's in L.A. and the biggest brand in basketball, it's an international story, and if we thought the limelight was on him before, he's going to have a magnifying glass on everything. We want to know how that is going to work out in L.A. He's got a bunch of young pieces. He's going to have to mold those guys. Lonzo Ball is going to have to play alongside him as well. Brandon Ingram. Who else do they got? Kyle Kuzma. And they bring in guys like Rajon Rondo and JaVale McGee. I don't quite get it. And Lance Stephenson, the guy who blows in LeBron's ear. So he'll be at practice. I just don't quite get that move. But LeBron is going to stay in L.A. And the one thing is, I do get why you're leaving. If you see J.R. Smith completely forget the score at the end of Game 1 of the NBA Finals, I would want out too. How do you not know the score? Talk with Connor Sutton.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
The Cascade Theater presents Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Graham Nash. Graham Nash has penned and performed some of the most iconic songs of the past 50 years, from the Hollies, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, to his own solo career. Nash's songs are legendary. Graham Nash at the Cascade Theater with an intimate evening of stories and songs October 3rd. Get tickets before they're all sold out at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Light Church in Bella Vista. Are you aware there are at least 7 million people in California who call themselves Christians? And of them, less than 15% will vote this coming election. If we are to survive the continuing moral decay of our California political leaders, every Christian must stand up, be counted, and vote. In order to return to godly moral values, Christians must vote according to the principles of the Bible. Regardless of your political party, please vote for candidates who believe in and live the values taught in the Word of God. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Attention Marines and other military veterans and civilians as well. The Shasta Marines cordially invite you to the annual celebration of the Marine Corps birthday. This year, the celebration will take place on Saturday, November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. In keeping with tradition, we conduct a formal ceremony complete with a color guard, a pipe band, and the annual birthday message from the Commandant of the Marine Corps. In addition, we will have a guest speaker in the form of a retired Marine Colonel who led a battalion in Iraq, served as an instructor at West Point, and assisted the federal government in intercepting illicit drug traffic. Tickets for the event are $35. For more information and to receive a formal invitation, contact Mike Gutierrez at 524-7595. We're sure you'll enjoy the celebration as it honors our illustrious Corps. That phone number again is 524-7595. Semper Fi, Marines.
Hi, this is Don Burton. In the wake of the car fire, disaster rumors seem to move quickly, and in some cases can be devastating to companies and individuals. One of those rumors relates to Palomar Builders and its owner, Jeb Allen. There's a rumor that Jeb has raised the prices on all his homes in an effort to profit from this disaster. Nothing could be farther from the truth. In the 30 years that Palomar Builders have been building homes in the North State, they have never had a price increase greater than 3%, ever. And many of the homes that were for sale were immediately opened up to displaced fire victims on the onset of the fire. And so many people know Jeb Allen and Palomar Builders as a giving company. And it's true, they've donated over $500,000 to Make-A-Wish in the past 2 years. Our community is important to Jeb Allen and Palomar Builders because they're part of this community. In an effort to help with home ownership, Jeb is offering $10,000 in free upgrades on any Palomar home in the month of August. For more information, contact Tom Papik of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 941-9534.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment 3, Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. All right, we had this new segment a couple weeks ago, and we're going to bring it back yet again. It's called Spread for Spread. Now, usually I have Jared and Joseph here, but Jared, our producer, is the only one here today. So how this works, Spread for Spread, he's going to give me the game, and I have to guess the spread if I'm within 1.5 points in either direction. If I am right. If I am not, then Jared is, or then I'm wrong. I have to go 9 for 13 on these games, and if I don't, I have to buy Jared breakfast. So that's why we're calling Spread for Spread, like, you know, like spread for a bagel. You know what I mean, right, Jared? That makes sense. Yeah, okay. So, Spread for Spread. I've turned into this guy who just loves sports betting, and more than anything is fascinated with how the different sports book comes up with these numbers and how they are very accurate. So that's where all this changes come from. And now that sports betting, I think, is going to become legal in California here soon, was approved by the Supreme Court, and then states are going to slowly legalize it as it moves on. It's going to become a more common part of our society, I think. So I'm kind of starting that here in Reading and KCNR just to talk about it. So, all right, let's begin it. Spread for spread. Here we go, Jared. What is that first game we're taking a look at here? Go for it.
All right. We have New York Jets at Cleveland.
So that was the Thursday night game. So that game already happened. That was my fault.
Oh, okay.
So actually, I got to go 8 for 12. That's why that number was too high.
Okay. We got Green Bay at Washington.
Green Bay at Washington. Now, this is an interesting one because the Redskins are kind of hit or miss, and we don't really know how they're going to be because Alex Smith as their quarterback this year. But we do know that Aaron Rodgers has been fantastic this year, despite basically playing on one leg. And the defenses for both teams aren't that great. The Redskins have a better defense, I think, than Green Bay, but I think the Packers kind of have a little bit of magic rolling this year. I'm going to say Washington is definitely favored, but not by a whole lot. I'm going to say Washington -2.
+3.
Wow. So Green Bay is favored to win that game. Okay. Wow. So I'm wrong on the first one. Not a good start for me.
We got Indianapolis at Philadelphia.
All right. Colts at Eagles. God, I'm still upset with the Eagles right now because of that other bet last week. Obviously the Eagles are going to be favored. They're coming off a loss where they got beat up pretty good. Carson Wentz is back this week, and the Colts are kind of a mess outside of Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton. So I'm going to say Eagles this is going to be tough. Eagles -6.5.
Close. -7.
All right. So that's one for two so far.
All right. We got Buffalo at Minnesota.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be a big spread. Buffalo is awful. Buffalo is so terrible. I mean, honestly, Jared and I could probably go try out for the Bills. Granted, I would never want to live in Buffalo just because of the poor weather. But Niagara Falls is pretty beautiful, so I have to say. All right, so, gosh.
Is it beautiful enough?
No, not enough to deal with the cold. Absolutely not. Minnesota is going to be favored by a lot. I think Minnesota's 2-0. They beat the Niners in week one and then played well last week as well. So, God, Minnesota -15?
You're within 1.5. It's 16.5.
Holy. See, that's a sucker bet, because, like, the part of me wants to say, man, I think Buffalo might have a chance with Josh Rosen, but I just don't want to do it. So I'm 2 for 3 so far.
All right, we got Oakland at Miami.
Oakland at Miami. The Raiders are 0-2, and I feel like this is going to be a game where they need to win. Otherwise, John Gruden is going to be under scrutiny. He already is, but got a 10-year, $100 million contract, and 3 weeks into that contract in the season, he's already being talked about as a mistake. So I think Oakland will win this game, actually. I don't know what – I'm trying to think of what the spread is. They're probably – Miami's going to be favored, but Ryan Tannehill is 8-1 in his last 9 games for Miami. So that's something to take into favor here, too. But I think Miami is going to be favored by – I'll say by just one at home.
-3.
Ooh, so that one's wrong. It's 2-for-4.
All right, we got Denver at Baltimore.
Man. I actually think Baltimore's pretty good. I think Joe Flacco and the Ravens have one of their best teams they've had in a few years, probably since their football or their Super Bowl year when they beat the Niners on the blackout of the Super Bowl year. And Denver is kind of not a team that I think is very good. They don't have their quarterback situation figured out. Their defense is good, but other than that, they are going to struggle. They have Bradley Chubb alongside Von Miller, so they have a very good defense, but I think Baltimore has a pretty good defense, and I mean, obviously Baltimore's going to be favored by, let's see here, by 7.
We got -5.5, so you're within 1.5.
Man, barely. So far, 3-for-5.
All right, we got Cincinnati at Carolina.
Bengals at Panthers. This was almost one of my fire three, Jared, because I looked into this one, and I really want to take Cincinnati in this game. But Carolina is going to be favored. They're at home, and the Panthers are pretty good. I just don't trust Cam Newton very much anymore. I think he is getting more and more inaccurate. He doesn't have good mechanics throwing the football, especially short, but he does have that huge arm. He can throw it hard and get it down the field in a hurry, and he also can scramble incredibly well. But I think Cincinnati has looked very good with Andy Dalton and A.J. Green on the outside. They got a couple other weapons as well. Tyler Eifert, their tight end. So Carolina's going to be favored by 5.
-3.
Damn. So 3-for-6 so far.
All right,
not a very good start. I got to pick it up, otherwise I'm going to owe you some eggs. Yeah, some eggs.
All right, we got Tennessee at Jacksonville.
Tennessee at Jacksonville. This is the Jaguars. I can't think of a time when the Jaguars have been as good as they are now. Blake Bortles has been really, really good, and he's been kind of a mess up until the last 2 years. And I think when their defense plays better, it gives Bortles confidence in the pocket, and he starts to throw better. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it just seems like that's the case. He had a really big week last week, and Marcus Mariota and Tennessee have kind of been a mess. So Jacksonville at home in the weather, I think it was like 94 degrees in Jacksonville last week or something like that for the game, and it was really hot on the turf as they beat up the Patriots, I believe. The Jaguars are going to be favored here by, let's say, they're going to be favored by a lot, 9.5, probably the second biggest spread of the week.
Oh, you got it.
Right on the money?
Right on the money.
Wow. I like it.
All right, we got San Francisco at Kansas City.
So 4-for-7. San Francisco at Kansas City. Got it. This one hurts because as a Niner fan, I'm super biased. I am now going because in week one of my Fire 3, Jared, I decided that after the Niners didn't cover the Niners didn't cover, that I will no longer bet on the Niners just because I know that I am biased in that direction. So that one, they will no longer be a part of my Fire 3. I made that mistake week one. Despite winning the other two games. But, all right, so the Chiefs are good. How good are they? I don't know. Patrick Mahomes has been unbelievable. He's got 10 touchdowns in 2 games. He's beaten up the Steelers for 6 touchdowns last week. Now, I think the Steelers are struggling a little bit in the locker room and with their defense. So, and obviously with Antonio Brown tweeting that he wanted to be traded, essentially. I don't think that's the case. I think that's a little bit of an overreaction, but that is what's going on in the locker room in Pittsburgh. But Kansas City is going to be favored. San Francisco played well last week against the Lions. They let the Lions come back into it a little too much. If San Francisco wins this game tonight, I think they'll be a wild card team. Or yeah, tomorrow night. Tomorrow at 10 a.m. I think they'll be a wild card team. That's a hot take, but again, it's because it's biased. So Kansas City is going to be favored by, I'll say, 5.5.
6.5, so close enough.
All right.
All right, we got Chargers at Rams.
So 5-8 this far. Chargers at Rams. The Battle of L.A. Not San Diego anymore, as Joseph would typically say. Man, the Rams are good. The Rams are really good, like, in every position. They don't have a weak spot on the field. Sean McVay's probably the best young head coach in the NFL, and he's younger than some players. It's truly incredible. So the Rams are going to definitely be favored. But the Chargers aren't bad either. Phillip Rivers, he's like that guy. To me, he is the line between the top-tier quarterbacks and the middle-level quarterbacks, because he floats that line. He walks it beautifully, and he can jump up, and 1 week you're like, my goodness, this guy's a top-five quarterback, and then he doesn't do as much in the next week. So this guy's kind of a wild card when it comes to being a quarterback, but he's pretty consistently good and in the top 10 of best quarterbacks in the league. But I'm going to say the Rams minus, I think it's going to be a little closer than people think. I think the Rams are going to minus 5.
No, minus 7.
Minus 7, okay. So I've got 5 right, 4 wrong. We got 3 left. I got to go 3 for 3. Is that right? Do I have to go 3 for 3? My goodness. Uh-oh, that's not good.
All right, we got Bears at Arizona.
Chicago at Arizona. Chicago, though, should be favored in this game. Arizona is not very good. They had David Johnson. They're still trying to figure out their quarterback situation. Trying to remember who their quarterback was. I think it was Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert was their quarterback last week. I'm 90% sure. So, Chicago with a nice win last week, by the way, on Monday night. So they're coming off that win. They only lost to the Packers. Chicago's pretty good. Mitch Trubisky's looked pretty solid this season, despite it being his sophomore year, and typically they talk about the sophomore slump. But I'm going to say Bears minus 4.
4.5.
Okay. I needed that. So I got to go. Now I got to go 2 for 2 because I'm 6 for 10 right now. I got to go 8 for 12.
All right, we got New England at Detroit.
New England at Detroit. I would say this is going to be another tough one because I think the Patriots are definitely going to be favored, but not by much because it's in Detroit. The Lions are a mediocre team, but they can blow up and score a lot of points in a hurry. Their defensive line was their bright spot. They let go of Adama Kasu, who's now in L.A. with the Rams. I'm going to say New England minus. Let's see. Hang on. I got to think. New England, I'm going to say New England minus 2?
Minus 7.
Minus 7. Oh, my goodness. I owe Jared lunch or breakfast, whatever you want to call it. All right. Let's do that last one for fun.
All right. We got Pittsburgh at Tampa Bay.
Pittsburgh at Tampa Bay. Pittsburgh needs this win. Mike Tomlin's going to be in the hot seat if they start 0-2-1. I hate ties, by the way, Jared. We've had 2 ties in 2 weeks. You know the odds of if you bet that there's going to be a tie, it's a $120 to 1 odds on that.
Oh, wow.
So, and we've had it twice in the last 2 weeks. Tampa Bay is going to be favored by 4.5.
1.5.
Wow. That's a sign right there. First off, I struggled this week in spread for spread. But that's a sign that Vegas thinks Pittsburgh's better than their record. And this could be a spot where Pittsburgh has an opportunity to get a win. And it just feels like, because I would think Tampa Bay is going to be favored by more than that. They're 2-0. But again, as I said, with the Eagles last week, it's just not plausible to see Ryan Fitzpatrick do what he's done and what everybody's calling Fitz magic, which I think is great, 3 consecutive weeks. So I just don't quite get it. Wow. All right, so I got a lot wrong here. I was 7 for 12, which means, Jared, what does that mean?
I think it means breakfast.
It means breakfast. So I gotta pick this up, otherwise I'm gonna go broke. All right, that's spread for spread. We'll probably do this every couple weeks or so, and we'll take a break. Coming up next, my Fire 3, the three bets in the NFL that you need to take a close look at and consider betting on. And then we also have Stardom and Sit 'em, a new segment about fantasy football. That's next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
This is Andy Main bringing you a news update from high-speed internet provider ShastaBeam.com. We've had a great response from the community regarding the recent car fire from residents who were evacuated or had their homes burned. We're happy to report that all of our towers providing high-speed internet services are in operation, and we're installing new equipment on those towers that suffered fire damage. We continue to send our condolences to those who suffered losses, and we are still offering expedited installation services to those who need high-speed internet and phone services installed at their addresses. Call us today at 605-2203 or Google ShastaBeam.com on your smartphone to pre-qualify your address or to inquire about our services. ShastaBeam has been providing high-speed wireless services to the North State since 2004. We provide services to all areas that have slow internet. Call ShastaBeam today at 605-2203 or visit ShastaBeam.com to pre-qualify your address and order online today. This is Andy Main wishing you fast, reliable internet from ShastaBeam.com.
I'm Don Burton. I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar.
And Sue Blake.
We're at the beautiful Cottonwood Community Library, where you just finished up a job. They have solar now. What's it mean to them?
Well, Don, this compact 6-kilowatt system will offset the Cottonwood Community Library's entire electric bill. This is due to the efficient design and the quality of the SunPower panels, which are rated as the best solar panels on the market.
And the all-black panels present a beautifully clean look on their roof.
The SunPower panels can also be installed as a ground rack or a pole mount system.
How do you know which type of system is best for you?
Visit our showroom and design center today at 4616 Caterpillar Road in Reading,
where one of our solar design experts will sit down with you and present all of the available options and design a system specific to your energy needs.
And Powerhouse Solar can save you money on your home as well. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600.
And let us get the power of the sun working for your home or business.
Monday Night Football is back, baby. Raiders, Niners, Seahawks, Cowboys, Vikings, where you at? Bet the Bookie returns again this year with Kenny Breedlove. Win cash and prizes every Monday night. Monday Night Football kicks off this year with a doubleheader on September 10th. The Jets versus the Lions, and the Rams take on the Raiders. Come get your football fix at Shameless O'Leary's. The best wings, burgers, and Irish nachos in town, plus over 16 brews on tap and over 100 unique whiskeys behind the bar. Wear your favorite team jersey and come play Bet the Bookie every Monday night. It's free to play and an absolute blast for couples or serious football fans. Place your bet and win. Don't forget Sunday Funday with the NFL ticket and Sunday brunch. Bloodies, mimosas, and a full breakfast menu. If you want to watch football, make it Shameless O'Leary's, California Street, downtown Reading.
Football, you say? Well, I've got $100 here. Says football's supposed to be played with your feet.
Welcome back. I think this is now my favorite intro. I think I've said that multiple times, but I think it is. All right, great show so far today. And now it's time for the Fire 3. I'm 4-2 so far on the year on my Fire 3. My two losses were the San Francisco and Minnesota game and then the Eagles against the Bucks last week. And I think Vegas is on the same page with me where there's no way that the Buccaneers are going to have another big week. There's just no way. So, as that was only a point and a half spread at home against the Steelers, who haven't won. But also, I think you have to say that that's partially because the Steelers haven't won. They're going to be anxious to get that first win. All right, the Fire 3, my three picks for the week that you need to take another look at if you are into sports betting. First one, Atlanta versus New Orleans. The Falcons are favored by 2.5. And I think the Falcons might be a Super Bowl team this year in the NFC. They might be able to make it. New Orleans is about as Sean Payton as ever with their offense. And the over-under for this game is at 53, so we know it's going to be high scoring because both offenses are powerful. But I think the Falcons actually have a pretty good defense that we don't talk about enough. We talk about Matt Ryan. We talk about Julio Jones. Devontae Freeman's out, so Tevin Coleman will be getting a lot of the carries. But and they had Muhammad Sanu. They had that first-round pick who was also a wide receiver. We talk about their offense so often, but we don't talk about how good their defense is, and it's shockingly pretty good. And early on in this season, I think that's going to be a factor for them. So I would take Atlanta minus 2.5, put it on Atlanta. I think they're going to beat the Saints up pretty good this week. I think Drew Brees has been average to above average this year, but he hasn't been outstanding. So I think he's taken a little while to get into the rhythm that he usually gets in midseason, and he's not very good early in the season. That's kind of been his MO for his career. So I'm going to take Atlanta minus 2.5 against New Orleans on the road. All right, next up, Giants at Houston. And this is an interesting one because I've been talking about, I kind of trashed the Giants first segment about giving Odell Beckham Jr. that big contract and how it's going to affect them. But I actually think that they're going to cover here. It's plus 6.5, and I'm going to take the Giants here. Giants plus 6.5 against Houston, mainly because I don't think Houston's very good. Deshaun Watson has not looked good since coming back from that ACL injury. J.J. Watt doesn't look like he's the old J.J. Watt. He's starting to age a little bit. And so we have all of these different factors that go into why the Houston Texans haven't looked all that great, and neither team has looked good. I mean, the Giants say this is kind of a tough pick, but the reason why is because I think Houston is just not a very good team. Unless Deshaun Watson gets back to playing like he did last year, which I think is going to take a little while, and which is typical coming off an ACL. I don't expect you to just light it up. We'll probably see Carson Wentz do something similar with the Eagles. But I like the matchups on the perimeter in the favor of the Giants. I think that DeAndre Hopkins for the Houston Texans will probably get the ball a little more than he has in the past couple of weeks. But I really think that if the Giants can stop the defensive line for the Texans, they'll have a good chance to win this game and win it by a lot. So Giants plus 6.5. I don't know if they'll win this game, but I do think that they will cover. All right, my final one is Dallas at Seattle. Dallas plus 1.5. So I think, and this is actually my most confident bet this year, and I actually said that last week too about the Eagles that lost. But this one, it's almost so good that it kind of feels like a sucker bet, but I just don't think it is because the Cowboys are much better than their record, and they're much better than this spread. And I've talked about it multiple times this year that I don't think Seattle's very good outside of Russell Wilson. Their defense has been basically picked apart. The Legion of Boom is gone and no longer. But Seattle might be one of the worst teams in the league, just straight talent-wise. But that just proves how great Russell Wilson is because he kind of disguises that for them. Dallas needs this win to prove that they are a playoff-caliber team, which I think they are. They'll get Ezekiel back next week. And Russell Wilson basically just tries to stay afloat running from the defense and trying to avoid the pass rush, which is he struggled with. So I think Dallas is really good, but they just haven't been able to show it yet. They need some perimeter weapons. This is one of the few times I will say this, is that Dallas doesn't really have a whole lot of targets on the outside. I think when they lost Dez Bryant, they lost the guy that defenses would key in on, and now on the perimeter they don't have that player who is going to get double covered within allows other positions and other receivers to get open. So I think that's one of the factors, too. So Dallas at Seattle, take Dallas plus 1.5. So my three fire three bets, which is 4-2 so far on the year. Falcons against New Orleans, minus 2.5. Falcons minus 2.5. And then the Giants are going to cover plus 6 against Houston. And Dallas, of course, are going to cover plus 1.5 at Seattle. So that's my fire three. Take a look. See what you think. And we'll do this every week. So now it's time for a new segment to close the show today. Start 'em and sit 'em. It's more talking about fantasy football here. And if you haven't gathered, I'm pretty much all in on football mode here with the NFL underway. Who should you start for the Vikings? Latavius Murray, the running back, will get a lot of touches. Dalvin Cook is out, and they're playing the awful Bills. That is a recipe for disaster for the Buffalo Bills. Murray is going to light them up. Play him and get him in your lineup now. He is going to absolutely light him up for the Vikes. And I think that the Vikings are going to absolutely roll the Bills. Again, that spread was 16.5. So, and you got to think that that's at least one of those touchdowns is Latavius Murray's. I don't think Kirk Cousins, who's been pretty good this year, better than he has been with Washington. Cousins is probably a top 8, top 9 quarterback in the league, by the way. But I just think that Latavius Murray is going to get a lot of touches, especially, think about this, too. When the Bills are trailing by so much and the Vikings are winning by a lot, they're going to want to run the clock in the second half, and who are they going to give it to? Latavius Murray. So he's going to get a lot of touches in this game, especially with Dalvin Cook out with an injury. All right, that's my stardom, Latavius Murray. My sit-em is LeSean McCoy. A weak O-line in Buffalo and a great defense in Minnesota, that's a recipe for disaster. So sit LeSean McCoy. I don't think he's going to have a very big week this week. And the Buffalo Bills, again, are a disaster. And their O-line, I don't even know if they have a position that they're good at. I mean, they had a guy retire at halftime of the game last week. He just went home. That's how you know you're bad. I just can't even. That's such a funny story. I just can't believe that that's the case and that people found out. I mean, at least just sit on the bench and give up, but don't go home and just say, "Coach, I'm done. I'm sorry. I can't do this. I can't get beat up this bad." Welcome to Buffalo. Poor Bills. Poor Bills fans. They made the playoffs last year, too, and now they're just back in this torture that is being a Buffalo Bills fan. They have to deal with that weather and a crappy football team? Are you kidding me? Life in Buffalo's got to be tough. All right, stardom. Joe Flacco has played quietly good this year, and I think John Harbaugh has his offense playing well, and Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh always play good early in the season. So start Joe Flacco against the mediocre passing defense in Denver. They do have a good pass rush with Bradley Chubb and Von Miller, but I say start Joe Flacco. I think he's going to absolutely light it up. My sit-em, I've said it all day today. Sit Ryan Fitzgerald. Fitz magic is not going to happen 3 weeks consecutively. There's no way. I got burnt on the bet last week, but Vegas agrees with me with that only 1.5-point favorite over the Steelers at home. They think the Steelers are going to eat up Ryan Fitzgerald, and there's no way. There's no way he's going to do it again. Do not fall for this trick. He's played well twice. He's not a reliable fantasy quarterback. Don't fall for this trick. Ryan Fitzgerald is my sit-em, and in all caps, sit him. Do not be that guy. Oh, man, he's playing great. My quarterback has been average. The reason why fantasy is a 17-week league is because that you have to have a consistent quarterback. And Ryan Fitzgerald is not that guy. And, yes, he might look great at the podium with the chain. He looked like a character from, like, Grand Theft Auto or something with the chain and the open-chested shirt with his chest hair hanging out. I mean, come on. He's got all the confidence in the world. But we've seen him do this before with multiple teams. It's not going to last. Sit him. I will say it again, sit him. That should have been one of my fire three, Jared, because I think that there's no way. I think the Steelers are going to eat up the Bucks this week. All right, a lot of stuff on the show today. We thank you for joining us. We talked about Jimmy Butler and the NBA of the trade market, where I was right, where I was wrong. And then, of course, spread for spread where I lost. I owe Jared breakfast, which is going to turn out to probably be beer after a football game coming up sometime this year. And then the Fire 3, Falcons -2.5 against the New Orleans Saints. Giants +6.5, they're going to cover against the Texans. And Dallas +1.5 against Seattle. And then start them and send them a new segment. We thank you for joining us. For my producer, Jared King, I'm Connor Sutton. This has been Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Have a great day.
Did you get some vegans?
Oh, it's going to be amazing, for sure.
Yeah. I have that feeling.
Me too. Yeah.
Bye.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143.